Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Happy Monday, Nashville. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today through Wednesday. We got Nick Keyser on the ones and twos with us. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a nice Easter, enjoyed watching some of the Masters. Always nice, a relaxing Sunday. Got the golf in the background, and we got some beautiful weather. It's going to be beautiful this week. Junie, how are we doing today?
Doing really good. Had a great Easter. We went to church with little man Lucas yesterday, and then went to a friend. She's from Louisiana, and they had a fish fry, which was absolutely outstanding. I've never seen anybody make homemade fish better than that. So we had a great Sunday yesterday, nice and relaxing, and kicking off the week strong this week.
Eating good, carbon up on a little Easter Sunday, getting ready for the week. Nick Keyser, how are we doing today?
Good morning. Whoa, my microphone's way too loud. There we go. Yeah, we're getting all settled in this morning. No, I'm doing good. It was a good weekend, and thanks for letting me chime in this weekend. It was a lot of fun. And honestly, couldn't have asked for a better little opportunity. So glad to get the week started off now, though.
Yeah, Nick filled in for me this Saturday on Michelle and Junie. So if you want to listen to that, talked a lot of Preds and talked to somebody from the Admirals, kind of got a little insight on some of the younger Nashville Predators. You can find that wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, any of that under Michelle and Junie. Michelle and Junie is taking over Chase and Michelle for the next 3 days. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, our 102.5 The Game phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And our game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are live this morning from here. And quickly, you know how Chase and I like to always do a question of the day. So we want you to weigh in on our text line for the entire show. We'll be touching on it the entire show. The NBA play-in games begin tomorrow. How much are you interested in the Memphis Grizzlies during the NBA playoffs? Are you excited? They made quite a bit of a run last year, went head-to-head with the Warriors in that series, great series. How excited are you for the NBA in general, the playoffs, for specifically the Memphis Grizzlies? I know they're only 3 hours away from here. We've got a poll up on Twitter, on the 102.5 The Game Twitter account right now. So text us, call us throughout the entire show. We will be addressing that. How interested are you on the NBA playoffs in general, and specifically the Grizz? And depending on that, we'll touch on it more, you know, as we get into the NBA playoffs. Junie, but some big news over the weekend. Jeffrey Simmons finally gets his big deal from the Tennessee Titans. As soon as Rand Carthon got hired as a new general manager this offseason, I made a list of priorities, what I thought was the most important things for him to get done. Number one on that list, sign Jeffrey Simmons. You can give that a big check off the list, Junie.
No, and I think it was the most important, because when you look at the future of this team and the players that will be here for the long haul, Jeffrey Simmons has to be on the top of that list. I mean, you're talking about a defensive tackle that can do it all. I think universally he's looked at as a top five interior defensive lineman easily. And so, you know, the fact that they got it done so quickly in the offseason before the draft just really kind of takes some pressure off the shoulders of the Titans when it comes to, you know, drafting key positions and interior defensive linemen. Like, if you have a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, that sets your defense up, you know, in the linebacking core, in the secondary, and everything. So locking him down for the next couple of years, he's going to be playing on his fifth year, and then that new contract will kick in, I believe, in 2024. So you're talking about the next 5 years for sure, having Jeffrey Simmons as a Tennessee Titan, and kind of going into what I wanted the Titans to do was to kind of keep the core of this defense and really try to go young and rebuild the offense to kind of get this rebuild and make it a quick turnaround, more or less. This was the first step to do it, and the fact that they got it done so early in the offseason for such a really good price, I feel like, was great for this team.
Jeffrey Simmons' deal with the Titans is a four-year extension worth $94 million, with $66 million guaranteed. Simmons' agent will get over 70% in guarantees, including a $24 million signing bonus. So that was reported by Teron Davenport over the weekend, late Friday, actually. I think it hit right before the weekend coming out. But, you know, there's a guy, Junie, as you mentioned, in that 2019 draft class, who's somebody that you wanted to make sure you re-signed. Such a key piece to the core of this team, a locker room leader, an on-the-field leader. I mean, I go back to that post-game interview when they lost to Jacksonville in Jacksonville. And, you know, he got really emotional just saying how much his organization means to him, what he did every single week just to be able to play on this field. Gets a huge deal done right under Aaron Donald. And I look at this also from a business standpoint of Rand Carthon. Quinton Williams is going to be needing a new contract and probably will be getting one this offseason. And I look at it, and if you could get this deal done now, then you avoid anyone else maybe getting a bigger deal with a different organization and then them using it as leverage. Well, you know, they got that, so I'm better than them. I need to get this X, Y, and Z. Kind of what we're seeing with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson right now.
No, you're exactly right. You know, you want to get ahead of the market because that's going to save you $1 million, $2 million, because Jeffrey Simmons is right at that $23.5 million per year, which is a good sweet spot because, you know, we were talking about, you know, maybe 25 plus. And the fact that they got him for, you know, 23.5, and the only other player that's making more on a yearly basis is Aaron Donald. And in fact, I think what is really sweet for Jeffrey Simmons is that his guaranteed money is one more million than Aaron Donald. And obviously, you know, age has to factor into that. You know, Aaron Donald's on his back nine, whereas Jeffrey Simmons is really starting to hit his peak in his prime. So, you know, Jeffrey Simmons got a really good team-friendly deal that's good for him, that's good for the franchise, and good for this, you know, the Tennessee Titans and their fans going forward. So it's good to see because, you know, we're in the locker room after every home game. And I would say on defense, the only other leader outside of Kevin Byard is Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys that is going to set the example. He played through injury this past year. He didn't complain about it. He talked about it after the season was over, mm-hmm. but not a guy that's going to make excuses or complain. He's a team-first guy. He's always staying positive. He's all about being here in Nashville, being with the Tennessee Titans, and that's a guy that you want to keep around for the long haul. So props to the Titans for getting such a great deal on such a great player and a leader in your locker room.
Teron Davenport was the one who ended up breaking the news just a couple days ago regarding Jeffrey Simmons and his contract extension. Here is Teron Davenport and his thoughts on this deal Jeffrey Simmons got.
I look at this as a pretty good deal from the Titans side of things, that they were able to do it, you know, a four-year extension under $100 million.
Yeah, absolutely. A four-year extension, you know, it's now they have Simmons in tow for another 5 years. Because remember, this is tacked on to the fifth-year option that he's playing on. So it's a good situation, you know, for both parties. Like you said, they kept it under $100 million. But I think when you look at from the Russell's side, you know, we're talking about over $70 million guaranteed. And then also his client, Simmons, will have an opportunity to come back and get another crack of the apple before he's 30. So that's a great deal for everybody.
So that was Teron Davenport last week discussing Jeffrey Simmons' contract. You know, Junie, and I think Teron made a great point at the end there. Jeffrey Simmons is turning 26 this summer. He could have an opportunity to have another big contract. He'll be just about 30 when this one's up. TD mentioned he has the fifth-year option, and then this deal will be tacked on after that fifth-year option. But he has an opportunity, you know, to play. And if he's still playing at an elite level, I mean, he could get another contract, but, you know, we all know in football that second contract it's that big one, because you come off your fifth-year option, or if you don't even do your fifth-year option, it's what allows you to know you have somewhat of a security blanket, because every week when you put yourself out there, or honestly every day on the practice field, you never know when you could have a career-ending injury. So there's got to be some sort of relief or comfort with Jeffrey Simmons, just knowing, okay, got that contract check. He posted on social media kind of a cryptic post before the contract extension was announced, and I thought, oh gosh, is he leaving? What's happening? But he went back on Twitter. He got the contract extension. And also, shout out to whoever runs the Tennessee Titans Instagram account, Nate Bain. They had an awesome just post, and it was just a screenshot that says, Jeffrey Simmons is now following you on Instagram.
Yeah, no, that was hilarious. And I think the timing of all this with the tweet made the entire fan base's heart just sink in their chest. Because, I mean, flat out, I mean, what's been the rumor is like, can the Titans afford him? Mm-hmm. Will they use him as, you know, trade leverage to go and move up in the draft, which they've been rumored to do? I just think that it was really funny what he did on Friday, because I was like, oh my gosh, he's gone. Like they've already been saying that they don't know if they can afford him. Mm-hmm. You know, what if they're going to actually use him to trade up in the draft with Arizona? Like, all these things were rushing through my head, and then he was like, oh, I got paid. But what the beautiful part of this contract negotiation being is, you know, what I feel like franchises and fans really worry about often is when a guy gets paid is, you know, are they going to kind of take that next step, or mm-hmm. are they going to get contempt with the money that they're bringing in? I don't see Jeffrey Simmons being the type of guy that stays contempt. I see him as like, okay, this franchise drafted me, this franchise paid me, this franchise believes in me. I am going to work my tail off in order to get the most results that I possibly can for the Tennessee Titans. And I think that's exactly what this team is going to get from him. Jeffrey Simmons, like I said, he's top five. In my opinion, I think he's top three when it comes to interior defensive tackles. And you're talking about a guy that's going to be here for the long haul. And when you're talking about wanting to, you know, rebuild and get back mm-hmm. into contention, which we're going to get into that a little bit later about where the Titans are in the AFC, you know, you need an anchor like this in the trenches, and I couldn't have found a better young player like Jeffrey Simmons to come in and fill that role.
Jeffrey Simmons' deal with the Titans will be a four-year extension worth $94 million, $66 million in guarantees, and also a $24 million signing bonus. Jeffrey Simmons is locked down as a Tennessee Titan for the next couple of years, but Junie mentioned something. Where is this Tennessee Titans team? Will they draft a quarterback in the first round? A rookie quarterback is coming to Nashville tomorrow to visit the Tennessee Titans. We'll discuss that all on the other side on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Tune in for the Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fam. Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe until Wednesday. We got Nick Kieser with us as well. We are live from our game studios, presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. We have the question of the day for our listeners. We want you to weigh in on it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How interested in the NBA playoffs are you? The playing games start tomorrow. Are you interested in the Memphis Grizzlies? We already had a text in say they're not. But what's your interest level look like? We're going to be taking a look at those all show long, and you know, it'll kind of decide how much we talk about it as we head into the playoffs. As I mentioned, the play-in games are tomorrow. But, Junie, I teased it before the break. Earlier this morning, Tom Pelissero put it out there on Twitter that Will Levis would be visiting the Tennessee Titans tomorrow here in Nashville. They visited him at his pro day. Now Will Levis will be coming down to Nashville to visit with the Tennessee Titans. And Hendon Hooker is the only other quarterback who has done so. So it'll be those two, and whether the Tennessee Titans look at this and also have a visit with Anthony Richardson, I doubt, but I mean, who knows? I doubt that they will have meetings with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud because of where they probably will go in the draft. But what are your thoughts on that when you saw that this morning? Tom Pelissero put out about 2 hours ago, Kentucky QB Will Levis headed to Nashville for a Tuesday visit with the Titans per source, and goes on to say Levis is one of the top QBs in the draft. Tennessee is doing its due diligence on all top prospects to be prepared for every scenario at number 11.
I mean, at this point in time, when we look at the Titans and we look at Ryan Tannehill, who is going to be 35 years old when the season starts this year, you know, not we're talking about the elite style of quarterbacks, you know, your Drew Brees, your Tom Brady's, your Ben Roethlisberger's, Aaron Rodgers, those guys can play up into their 40s. Ryan Tannehill is not up to that stature that's going to be playing up until he's 40, at least as a consistent starter.
Big Ben pushed it a little bit for
him. And exactly. That's a prime point. You know, Big Ben led the league in passing when he was, you know, like 37, 38, and he still looked like he could play at an elite level. He gets injured and comes back, and he's not nearly the same. And So I look at a guy like Ryan Tannehill. You know, he was banged up with some minor injuries last year, which shouldn't be a huge cause of concern. But, you know, Tannehill dealt with injuries when he was back with the Miami Dolphins a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, he's been healthy for the Titans, and they've seen some success. But that window for the Titans has kind of closed. You know, they're moving off some of those veterans that helped them get to where they were when they were making the AFC Championship, making the playoffs every single year. And now it's time for them to really look like, okay, Tannehill can be here for the next year, maybe next 2 years, but we got to do our due diligence on all of these quarterback prospects. So they're doing their homework. The fact that they're bringing Will Levis in shouldn't scare Titans fans, because just because they're bringing a guy in to do their homework on him doesn't mean that they're going to draft him. And we don't even know if Will Levis is going to make it to 11. I mean, I think more likely than not, he's going to go in the top 10 unless the Titans make a move up there to go get him. But they need to do their homework on these guys. You just never know. I mean, you can pick a guy number one overall, and he could be a bust. Or you can get a guy in a sixth round, or even Mr. Irrelevant like Brock Purdy, and he could be a solid starter for you. You just never know.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans need to do their homework on the quarterback position, because if they want to take advantage of how good this defense is right now, you want to get a young quarterback and a young offensive core around a guy on a rookie deal. And that's what it's going to take in order for them to make a quick turnaround. So Will Levis has a lot of upside. I know a lot of Titans fans don't like him. You know, I think it's purely a Tennessee bias because a Kentucky quarterback came in, and he probably had his worst game against the Vols this year.
So I'm
really interested to see how it goes. I'm interested to see the reports that come out about the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Will Levis should be a – you know, I think he's a top five prospect that the Titans should look at if he were to fall at 11 to potentially draft, if they believe that he can be the guy.
So some of the chatter and the noise that came out of the Combine and Kentucky's Pro Day was that Will Levis didn't come off the best in his interviews, came off kind of cocky and things like that. Here was Jordan Schultz earlier this week on Will Levis and some of the information he got regarding Will Levis's leadership.
Including Wandale Robinson now with the Giants, his wide receiver at Kentucky. He's told me the guy is a tremendous leader and totally misunderstood. He said everything he does comes from a good place. And you can talk to pretty much anybody around Kentucky and they'll tell you the same thing. So that tells me all I need to know about Will Levis. So I like the Colts a lot for him at 4. They worked him out privately in Lexington. I heard he did a hell of a job. He was the kind of guy that you want as a leader of your program, right? And Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, has been desperate trying to find the next Andrew Luck, the next Peyton Manning. They haven't been able to get there. They believe they have a pretty good roster. I would probably agree with that, especially offensively when you think about Michael Pittman as well as Jonathan Taylor, pretty good offensive line. So I like Will Levis potentially going to the Colts at 4.
So that was Jordan Schultz speaking on Will Levis, saying that he talked to Wandale Robinson, who was with him 2 years ago in Kentucky. He's now wide receiver for the Giants. But that was a lot of the chatter coming out about him, right? When you have somebody saying that there's a character issue with somebody, of course that's going to make your ears perk up. But that's also going to make you want to do your own research, especially since he is one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. The way I look at this is that the Tennessee Titans are doing their homework on everyone. Because think about it, if you know a Hendon Hooker or a Will Levis drop below 11 in the first round this year and they become a huge franchise quarterback for another team. You know, here we are as Tennessee Titans fans, right? Put your fan cap on. You're saying, well, could have had him at 11, didn't do your homework, right? You didn't know what he was going to be. So the way I look at this is that, yes, you should be working out these quarterbacks in getting information and working with them one-on-one in a setting. You should be watching them at the combine and then watching them at their own pro day where they feel more comfortable at their own university and how they interact with some of their former teammates. And then, yeah, you should be taking that step further if you think that they are going to be a quarterback who could go in the top 10. He mentioned Indianapolis went down to Lexington to work him out. And actually, it's funny. As soon as we played that clip, Indy Ben texts in and says, and of course, he's an Indianapolis fan, Indy Ben, "I'm on team bring Levis to Tennessee. Hopefully, after a trade up, y'all can have him. Indy's interest in him feels like a big smoke screen." So I think Indy Ben brings up an interesting point there. You know, when you look at the AFC South, obviously Jacksonville, they've got their quarterback. They've got Trevor Lawrence. Tennessee is a question mark. Indianapolis is a question mark. And Houston is a question mark. I mean, Junie, we're looking at the AFC South right now where there could potentially be three rookie quarterbacks entering this division.
And that's a good point, because this also goes into the narrative that, you know, if the Titans don't take a quarterback, and they bring these guys in for interviews and workouts and stuff, you're doing your homework on a quarterback that could potentially be on one of your division rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important as well, because then you kind of know how this guy thinks. You know, what's this guy's good at? What's his strengths? What's his weaknesses? You know, what can we get out of this workout, whether he's a part of the Titans or whether he's a part of the Colts or the Texans? I think that's an element of this that not a lot of people are talking about as well. You know, this is just such a sneaky time of year when it comes to reports and what comes out, because there's a lot of smoking mirrors. You know, when I hear, you know, Will Levis is cocky and arrogant in some of his interviews, I'm like, I'm kind of taking that with a grain of salt and also thinking, you know, could this be, you know, teams putting this out there so that other teams get a bad idea or a bad rep with this kid so that he kind of drops a little bit? That's always something that can be put into play as well. So, you know, there's so many different reasons why you can bring a guy in. The Titans are simply doing their homework with a guy like a Will Levis and an Anthony Richardson, who I believe that they're going to have come later on this week or maybe next week before the draft.
Yeah, but nothing's been said about that
Nothing's been set in stone, but I've heard rumblings that Anthony Richardson will be coming to Tennessee for a visit at some point in time. I saw that somewhere. Don't necessarily know where, but I think they're definitely going to at least bring him in, you know, to see what he's got. Because again, like, you got to do your homework on these guys. It's, you know, you never know with QB prospects, first round to seventh round. You never know. So it's good to do your homework. You have an aging quarterback that hasn't taken you over the top. Your one big playoff run was because of a historic performance by Derrick Henry through those two games against New England and Baltimore. So you got to look at the future. You got to say, hey, this is where we are with this team, especially when you look at Rand Carthon coming from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They were in a very similar predicament, and they kind of still are, because they haven't found that solidified quarterback yet, but they have a roster built around it with a good defense, good weapons, and a good run game. And I think that's what the Titans are going to be looking to build here, and that starts with doing your homework on all these top QB prospects to see if any of them would be a good fit with your team.
Listeners, 102.5 The Game listeners, put your GM cap on. Text us, call us, 615-737-1025. Who is your favorite rookie quarterback in this draft class and why? Who would you want to draft if you were a general manager of the Tennessee Titans? And Junie is going to give us his rookie quarterback comparisons, who he thinks these prospects could compare to most NFL quarterbacks in the league currently. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 the Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Keezer with us. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Asking the question all show long, how much do you care about the Memphis Grizzlies as the NBA playoffs begin this week? Playing games begin tomorrow. The Memphis Grizzlies could be looking to have a first-round matchup between the Lakers or the Timberwolves. Timberwolves got a little heated on the bench the other day. Rudy Gobert threw a punch to one of his players. So
On Easter Sunday.
That was a little jarring, I will say. But Lakers could be a fun matchup, especially if you're a Grizz fan trying to attend any of those games. Be pretty cool to see LeBron and AD there.
I don't know if that's what Grizzlies fans actually want to see, though, because the Lakers have kind of been hot. I mean, they were sitting at like the 12, 13 spot in the West, and now they're all the way up to the 7th spot, and they're kind of red hot. LeBron, AD, and you get Steven Adams missing for Memphis. Oh, it could be pretty bad.
Okay, here we go. We got Gary texting. Let's go, Grizz. Extremely hopeful. Don't know if they can reach the top with Adams out. Yes, Steven Adams out. I saw that. And Clark out of the lineup. And then somebody else said NBA is trash. So give us all your thoughts. We want to hear all of them and how you're feeling as the NBA playoffs begin. But Will Levis will be visiting Nashville to have a workout. And also something to mention is Hendon Hooker will be visiting the Detroit Lions, which was also put out there this morning. I mentioned it before we headed into the break that, Junie, you went through and did a quarterback comparison. So taking a look at the top five quarterback prospects, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Hendon Hooker, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson, you went through and took a look at all of these rookie quarterbacks and compared them to guys who are currently playing in the league or played in the NFL. So we'll go bottom to top on this one. And like I said, we want you to weigh in on this conversation. If you're a fan here of a specific team, the Tennessee Titans, you're a Colts fan, we got Indy Ben weighing in. Which quarterback do you like the best? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Okay, so we'll start at the bottom, Junie. We'll go Anthony Richardson. I say that he's probably just the most raw quarterback in his just reps, but we know his athletic ability. We know he was the combine star. So who is his floor? So what is the floor for him?
So the floor for him is going to be Terrell Pryor. Because Terrell Pryor, he was drafted out of Ohio State in like the alternative draft, which was a thing a while ago. They don't do that anymore. But he was purely drafted off of kind of the same potential, the speed, the arm talent, the size. And Terrell Pryor ended up becoming a receiver in the NFL because, honestly, that's what a lot of people thought of him. Now, Anthony Richardson more than likely is not going to be a wide receiver, but, you know, Terrell Pryor is the same conversation because, you know, purely they are being looked at in this position due to their, you know, athleticism, their arm talent, all this good stuff. So that is the floor for him. His ceiling, I'm putting at Cam Newton-esque. I mean, big guy, mobile, big arm, finding the offense, finding the coach that's going to build a system around you, being an MVP-level quarterback, getting basically all you can out of it. And for a while there, Cam Newton was considered a perennial top 10 quarterback, never really per se was an elite passer, which I don't think Richardson will ever be, but he was just used the right way. And was successful in the league for a good 8-9 seasons. So I definitely see if Richardson does pan out and develop, I see him kind of being like a Cam Newton at his peak. But the most likely I think he's going to be, and if you're a fan of Richardson, you're not going to like this, but it's Jamarcus Russell. And Jamarcus Russell is one of the biggest busts. I think if Anthony Richardson gets drafted in the top three, he will be considered one of the biggest busts, one of the biggest reaches of all time. He played 1 year at Florida, and that 1 year was very underwhelming as a passer. 53% completion percentage. You're looking at his athletic traits, and I just think that you want a quarterback in the NFL that can make those tight window throws. Anthony Richardson just flat out isn't that guy. And unless he just lucks out and goes to a team with a great offensive system, kind of like Patrick Mahomes falling in Andy Reid's lap, don't see him panning out to being anything special.
How much do you think Anthony Richardson's fate is dependent on the franchise he gets drafted to?
I think it means everything. I mean, if he goes to... I mean, let's say
the Panthers draft him number one overall.
I would say that's not a good fit. I wouldn't take that as a good fit. I just think that the Panthers' offensive line has a lot of uncertainty to it. A lot of young guys, they're still kind of forming together. Now the Panthers have a really good defense, but there's just no true identity on offense, and I feel like in order for Anthony Richardson to be successful, he would have to really go to a place. I feel like if he went to Indianapolis, that would be the best fit for him because he could sit under Gardner Minshew. They have a really good serviceable bridge quarterback there. They have a good running game that could complement him. And they also have, you know, Michael Pittman Jr., which is, you know, a pretty solid receiver up there in Indy. I think that would be the best fit for him to go to. It's just – you know, even still, it's like he would still have to develop a ton in order to, you know, reach that full potential.
So in addition to Anthony Richardson, I'm putting Will Levis with him as the two most polarizing guys in this draft class, because some people view them as becoming these elite franchise quarterbacks, and other people have words like they could ruin a franchise. They'll be, you know, the ultimate bust. Will Levis, what is his floor, do you think?
I see Will Levis's floor, and this is as, and when I compare him to this individual, it's at his current state, and that's Carson Wentz.
So with the Indianapolis Colts.
With the Colts and with the Commanders, how Carson Wentz is, you know, some games he's throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns and he looks amazing. Other games he's throwing three interceptions, 100 yards, and looks absolutely god-awful. That is the floor for Will Levis. You know, he has all the traits, he has the size, he has the big arm, he has the mobility. It's just if he can put it all together and really tighten up his decision-making. I see him in his floor, if he comes into league, as a borderline starter with Carson Wentz-level traits. His ceiling, and I've said this multiple times, is Josh Allen. I see Josh Allen as a guy that came out of Wyoming, didn't have that 60% completion rate at Wyoming, which is a very small school that you want to see, but everybody was hyping up those traits and what he could be. He fell in the lap of the Bills. The Bills have built around him properly. He's developed slowly, but he's reached that level to where he's an MVP caliber quarterback, a perennial top five quarterback in the league, in the MVP conversation. Will Levis has that potential. It's just all about if he were to fall into the right situation. But my most likely comp, and I think you're really going to like this one because I haven't told you this yet, is Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. I see Daniel Jones and Will Levis really in the same boat. You know, when Daniel Jones got drafted, a lot of people were confused as to why. He was a very polarizing prospect, didn't have a ton of success in college, played at Duke, you know, a basketball school just like Kentucky. And Daniel Jones really struggled his first couple years, and then guess what? The Giants bring in Brian Daboll, mm-hmm. an excellent, you know, offensive-minded coach that did wonders with, you know, Josh Allen, another quarterback that I'm kind of comparing to Will Levis, and then got the most out of Daniel Jones, and guess what? They went to the playoffs, and they won a game this year. And Daniel Jones, I feel like, you know, getting the second contract, he's only going to get better the longer he is with Daboll. So I say the most likely comparison to Will Levis is a Daniel Jones that has limitations, but with the right coach can be coached into being successful and bringing out the best in that individual.
And a run-first offense, I'd say.
Yes, very much so. That's why I would really like to see Will Levis go to the Colts or go to the Raiders, which has, you know, Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, and Jacobs back there running the ball. He was just the league leader in rushing. So that would be a really good offense that I could see Will Levis flourishing in, along with in Indianapolis as well.
Okay, a local favorite quickly, and then we will get to the top two at the 10 a.m. hour because we got to do our power play that we do every day at 9:45. But Hendon Hooker, Junie, he is a local favorite, obviously had one of the best, I mean, quarterback performances with Tennessee in over a decade, right? I mean, he will go down in history as a Vol, meant so much to the program this year, had an incredible college season. What would you say his floor in the NFL would be, or your comparison would be?
So my floor for Hendon Hooker is going to be a Tyrod Taylor, a really serviceable backup that's going to kind of bounce around the league and really assist all the teams that he goes with. You know, Hendon Hooker has a really good head on his shoulders, and so does Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor constantly, wherever he goes, is always helping the young quarterbacks that he's paired along with. And when he's in the game, he's a very serviceable quarterback that you want to come in there. He's taken teams to the playoffs and at times has looked really good. And I could definitely see Hendon Hooker being at least that, a guy that is a career journeyman that's going from place to place, being a mentor to young guys that franchises believe to be their guy, and when he gets the opportunity to play, have some success. His ceiling, I think, is an Alex Smith. Alex Smith, when he left San Francisco and went to Kansas City with Andy Reid, was playing like an MVP-level quarterback. But at the same time, you also knew that he wasn't the quarterback that was going to take that team mm-hmm. over to the top. But he was a good bridge quarterback that could play at a really high level in a really good system. We're seeing that with a Hendon Hooker right now being in Josh Heupel's system. Didn't make it at Virginia Tech, goes to Tennessee, has the weapons, has the offensive system, and in retrospect, he has played really, really well under that. So I think that his peak is more or less an Alex Smith, and I don't think that's degrading Hendon Hooker whatsoever, because if Alex Smith never had that really nasty leg break, I think he still could be playing at a pretty consistently high level. But for my most likely comparison, and you all kind of touched on this because I think somebody came on this show last week and did this, but my most likely comparison is a Teddy Bridgewater. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about a Teddy Bridgewater before he tore every single ligament in his knee. Teddy Bridgewater was a guy that made a Pro Bowl. He was a young quarterback that led the Vikings to the playoffs and had a lot of upside. I definitely can see Hendon Hooker being like a Teddy Bridgewater, somewhat mobile, not going to run you over, not going to shake you out of your shoes in the open field. But if you give him a lane, he can run and get a good 10 yards and get a first down and move the chains. That is what a Hendon Hooker can do. You know, he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's accurate, and that's what Teddy Bridgewater is. And even after Teddy Bridgewater kind of became the perennial backup, when he was Drew Brees' backup, he came in and went 5-0 for the New Orleans Saints a couple years ago. So, you know, I kind of see a Hendon Hooker being more or less like a Teddy Bridgewater with the athleticism, with, you know, the leadership, being a really good teammate, and also being able to come in and win you some games. I think he could be kind of that guy before Teddy Bridgewater banged up his knee and kind of starting out a little bit slow, but seeing the potential and seeing that he's going to be very consistent for you.
And of course, we will save the best two for last. Bryce Young and CJ Stroud at 10 a.m. Junior will give his QB comparisons for them. But up next, the Power Play, 9:45 every single day on Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
It's time for the Daily Power Play.
A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
That's a similar game. It's Calgary, then you got Minnesota and Colorado. Three tough games. What do you take from this going forward?
Just the importance of the little plays, coming out of your zone. Momentum surges. How do you get the momentum back on your side? Executing when you get your looks on the power play. You might not get too many looks here down the stretch, so we're really trying to bear down on our looks, but at the end of the day, it's starting with our compete and effort and our will and sacrifice, we feel like we can win any game.
That was Ryan McDonough after the Predators 2-0 loss to the Jets this weekend. Welcome back in. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe until Wednesday. We got Nick Kieser with us. As I mentioned, the Predators fell to the Winnipeg Jets 2-0 this weekend, which makes the playoffs very, very, very hard to obtain, Junie. If the Winnipeg Jets win tonight, and if the Winnipeg Jets win tonight, this is like if this and this and this happens, then this happens, right? One of those situations when we get mm-hmm. towards the end of the regular season into the postseason. So if Winnipeg wins tonight, the loser of the Predators-Flames game will automatically be ruled out of the playoffs. So Nashville essentially will have to win out Flames game tonight, and then you've got Minnesota and the Avalanche coming up this week as well later in the week. So tall, tall task for this Nashville Predators team. Kind of stinks to see, you know, them lose this past weekend, especially since there was so much momentum when they're only 1 point away, lose to the Winnipeg Jets. But I think, you know, what I take away mostly from that game was, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, when you match the teams up and you look at the rosters and you look at the personnel they have, I mean, they're a playoff team compared to this Nashville Predators team who has been incredible, right? You know, figuring out a way to even be in this position, to even be this close to a playoff spot with their top guys out, their highest paid players out, their best players out, you know, and these young guys who a bunch of them were started their season in Milwaukee have been able to take over and perform at such a high level. I mean, nobody thought that they would be in this position. And yeah, I know it's probably disappointing for fans who thought, oh my gosh, we're so close. Like, what if this group sneaks in? Like, that could be fun. But, you know, when you kind of look at the road ahead of them, it's a very, very tall task. But I try to find the silver lining in it and think that you would have never thought a month ago they would be this close to securing a playoff spot. If I were to label to you everyone who was out, everyone who was sold out, and then the guys who were in your starting six.
100%. And I mean, going over to the Winnipeg Jets side of this, I mean, they were one of the top teams in the West a few months ago, yes. And they've been kind of slipping. So it took them to slip a little bit, the Preds to really step up their game. And I think the best part of this was fans were upset with the lack of effort that this team had coming into the season. You know, it was very underwhelming. The production that you were getting from the guys that you sold off was very underwhelming as well, probably outside of Ekholm. But the fact of the matter is these young guys came in and they played their tails off. And they worked every single night. And, I mean, Ryan McDonagh said it himself. You know, it wasn't a lack of effort the other night in Winnipeg. You know, when they were playing at home against the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes, I mean, they were dominating. Home ice advantage is a huge advantage in this sport. And they took advantage. But, you know, it's just a tall task when you have to go up against two teams that are on the verge of the playoffs and you're playing in their spot. And on top of that, they're more talented than you. If you would have asked me at the trade deadline, what's more likely, that the Preds were a fringe playoff team in the last week of the season, or they were kind of up there competing for the top spot in the lottery, I would have chose the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they're even in this conversation, you know, beating Boston, beating Vegas, beating Carolina, three of the top five teams in the NHL this season in the past couple of weeks is huge. This experience that these guys have had, having the toughest schedule down the stretch, is huge. And you just got to think that some of these young forwards that have come in and stepped up and played, you pair them along with the veterans like Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson and put Juuso Parsonen back with these young guys, that this team could potentially, you know, be in the playoff conversation next year and be in a really good spot and be a lot younger and a lot cheaper than what they were. And they can also bring in a free agent. They're going to have a lot of cap space this offseason and bring in another guy, another goal scorer. So look at the positives. This team should have never been in this situation. The other night in Winnipeg, they played their tails off. And honestly, it was just they couldn't keep it in the offensive zone. Winnipeg just wanted a little bit more talented. And they're going to go on to the playoffs. And they've been a perennial playoff team all year long. So don't be shocked. Don't be disappointed. Just be happy that you were there and happy that you got to see this in the tail end of the
season.
So
if the Calgary Flames win tonight, just so you guys know, Calgary has a 23% chance of making the playoffs, the final wild card spot. And also going back to the injuries, just to give you this quick stat, the Preds are 15-12-2 since Philip Forsberg left, just so you know.
Yeah, so what would that look like if he was playing alongside some of these younger forwards who wouldn't have to take on, you know, so much of the responsibility out there? What would it be like if, you know, he was healthy in addition to Matt Duchene and Forsberg? But it's something that Preds fans can look forward to, what these lineups will look like next year. And, Junie, as you mentioned, there's a new general manager coming in. You have a lot of draft capital. Is that something that you want to package up because you believe that what you saw from this young group of guys is enough that you think, okay, we've got this young core. We saw a lot of guys step up this year, like a Tommy Novak, like a Cody Glass, Luke Evangelista, right? You saw what they have been able to do this year in addition to getting some guys healthy like Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson. I mean, those guys are still question marks on, you know, are you going to try to pay out a guy like Ryan Johansson? I know that has been a possibility we've just kind of thrown out here. But you look at this roster, you've got a new general manager coming in Barry Trotz. You have so much draft capital. If you believe that when put together, that with maybe another free agent piece, that you could be a playoff contender, I mean, that could be an option too. This team could not be going in a full rebuild.
And that's the question. And correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, Nick is a lot better at this than I am. He watches a lot of college hockey, a lot of AHL. I really feel like that this year's draft has been hyped up as one that has a lot of depth and talent, Nick. Would you say that
yes,
that's true?
100%.
So with all the moves that the Preds have been making, with the trade deadline, with the injuries, and how depleted I think Milwaukee is, I think what most likely will happen is that they're going to keep majority of these draft picks and try to, you know, just, you know, get the pick of the litter. Get as many prospects as you can. Try and see who hits and who doesn't. And on top of that, you have cap space. And I think if they're going to do any adjustments to this roster whatsoever, they're going to bring in somebody via free agency in order to get a little bit more goal scoring. So the Preds are in a really good spot. You got cap space, you got draft picks, and on top of that, you have young prospects that are coming up and excelling at the NHL level. So, I mean, you couldn't have asked to be in a better spot going into next season.
The Preds will play the Flames tonight, 8:30 puck drop. Our pregame coverage will start at 7:30 with Max Herz for the pregame show. Coming up next, Junie and I will get to the final two quarterbacks in this draft and give our comparisons to them. You're listening to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.